Hello, this is Sharon, and it's Wednesday, July 22nd, 2020. I'll be bringing you the pantograph for today, and we'll begin on the front page with an article, Connect Transit Finds Itself in Survival Mode. The coronavirus pandemic has cost Connect Transit an estimated $250,000, and changes are in store. Connect Transit is kind of in survival mode, said Board Chairman Ryan Whitehouse. We are not dying. We aren't broke right now. State funding from the Illinois Department of Transportation is unknown, said General Manager Isaac Thorne, who also appeared before the Normal City Council this month. Funding from IDOT accounts for about 60% of Connect Transit's budget, and Whitehouse said it is uncertain when ridership will return to pre-COVID-19 levels. We are just trying to keep the ship steady, the bus steady during this COVID situation, he added. We are keeping everything operational, and once we get through this, we will be really ramping up our conversations with stakeholders and council members. For now, the search continues for ways to cut costs and improve routes, he told the Bloomington City Council Monday night. And officials will be returning to discuss additional funding and likely soon. That was one of 13 recommendations from the Connect to the Future work group, a 12-member panel formed last year by the Connect Transit Board of Trustees to engage the community in questions related to transit. The group approved all 13 recommendations in January. And the Connect Transit Board of Trustees also approved them and forwarded them to city officials the following month. From Normal, the group recommended an increase of $100,000 for this coming fiscal year and an increase of $100,000 on top of that for the following fiscal year. From Bloomington, the group suggested an increase of $150,000 in each of the next 2 fiscal years. Within 2 years, that would accumulate an additional $500,000 a year if approved by both Normal and Bloomington. The city already provides a $1.2 million for Connect Transit's operations and capital expenses, while Normal provides $878,000 annually. The new request would be in addition to those previously set amounts and would continue going forward. When approving the recommendations, members of the CTTF board said that as currently funded and operated, Connect Transit will become insolvent by 2026. This funding gap is real, and solving it is an essential top priority. Transit agencies around the world have had budgets upended by COVID as passenger numbers dropped and expenses increased to handle more rigorous cleaning standards. For example, New York's subway system normally serves more than 5 million riders a day. But ridership plunged more than 90% at the height of the pandemic, creating a massive budget hole. Congress is currently considering an infrastructure bill that would include $145.3 billion for transit and transportation. Connect Transit has a $13.7 million budget for the current fiscal year, including $8.8 million in state money, and recently received a $9.1 million grant awarded through the Federal CARES Act for additional costs incurred during the pandemic and to replace lost revenue. When the pandemic hit, the service suspended fares, however, Thorne said, that only a small portion of revenue is generated by fares. In August, a one-fare-for-all rate structure of $1.25 will begin. But some city officials would like to see all fares taken away for good. I think the theme for the next few months for me will be to put your money to it, said Bloomington Alderman Scott Black. I have thought this for years, but I have always thought that public transportation should be entirely fare-free. We should put money toward that goal. The whole system should be free. Maybe we use our upcoming weed money to help fund that. Other issues remain high priority, White House said. For instance, transportation issues to the recently opened Veterans Affairs Clinic at 207 Hamilton Road in Bloomington were recently raised by Normal Councilman Stan Nord. But White House said that is not an issue. Anyone that is going to use the VA, and as long as you live in the Bloomington Normal corporate limits, can contact Connect Transit 24 hours prior to the appointment and get door-to-door service to the VA, White House said. We will take you from where you are at your home right to the VA at the same cost for the fixed route, $1.25, when we begin collecting fares in August. Until then, there is no charge. White House said there is hope that one of the fixed routes can eventually be established once the Hamilton Road Extension project is done. While I know there has been some contention over this, and we've tried our best to accommodate this, door-to-door service is a pretty good solution, White House said. Officials are also working on expanding service to the outer city limits and working on a fare-free pilot program. White House said that Connect Transit officials are also working toward full compliance at bus stops with the Americans with Disabilities Act. By our understanding, by 2024, we will have 100% ADA compliancy, which will make us one of the few, if not the only, system that will have that, he said. Bus stops on Alexander Road, for one, are not compliant right now, but White House said that officials plan to work with the city of Bloomington to ensure that sidewalks are added or improved where necessary. Officials are also currently seeking input from the community regarding a proposed downtown Bloomington bus transfer center. The public meeting is scheduled at 5:30 p.m. July 29th at the Bloomington Normal Center for the Performing Arts to discuss the project. Due to coronavirus concerns, no more than 50 people will be allowed at the meeting at any one time. McLean County, COVID-19 rise resumes, 17 new cases. Surrounding counties also report upticks. McLean County's COVID-19 surge resumed on Tuesday as the County Health Department confirmed 17 new cases. In addition, several surrounding counties also reported new COVID incidents, including Logan County, which reported 6 new cases, bringing its total to 56. Logan County health officials released a statement Tuesday asking for the public's help in reversing the current surge by wearing masks in public, staying 6 feet away from others, and washing their hands. These practices are critical now more than ever, said Don Cavey, Logan County Health Department Executive Director. We have started to see an uptick in cases locally, and disregarding masking guidelines and social distancing standards is certainly contributing to the rise. Meanwhile, McLean County Health Department Administrator Jessica McKnight said the health department is partnering with Chestnut Health Systems to increase COVID testing in the county by co-sponsoring the first rural testing site. In McLean County, the 17 additional cases, following 3 new cases on Monday and 12 on Sunday, mean that 32 county residents have had confirmed cases of the novel virus so far this week, and 137 new cases have been confirmed since the uptick in cases began on July 3rd. Since the outbreak began, 402 county residents have had confirmed cases of COVID-19. Of those, 312 have recovered, 9 more than on Monday. 73 are isolated at home, 7 more than Monday, and 2 were hospitalized, 1 more than Monday. 15 McLean County residents have died of COVID-19 since March. The most recent death was 2 weeks ago. McKnight said more than 19,200 COVID tests have happened in McLean County. The cumulative positivity rate is 2.1%, and the county's rolling 7-day positivity rate through July 20th is 2.3%. Tuesday's increase in numbers follows a rise in people being tested for the virus. McLean County Emergency Management Agency said 421 people were tested on Monday at the COVID-19 test site operated by Reditus Laboratories at the McLean County Fairgrounds, 1106 Interstate Drive, Bloomington. The site is open 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. daily except holidays and may be accessed by car, by walk-up, or by using a Connect Transit shuttle. The Health Department and Chestnut will set up mobile clinics in rural communities beginning 9 a.m. to noon Thursday in the parking lot of the Koufax Village Office, 307 North Harrison Street, Koufax, McKnight said. People may drive up or walk up. The test will be a self-administered nasal swab. We will be asking for insurance information, but those without insurance will be able to be tested, McKnight said. We won't be collecting payment at the time of service. We are seeing community spread of COVID-19 in McLean County, McKnight said. It is imperative for all of us to be aware and take precautions to reduce the risk of spreading COVID-19, including continuing to wash our hands, watch our distance, and wear our face coverings. Tazewell County Health Department reported 7 new cases on Tuesday, bringing that county's new total to 230. And LaSalle County reported 7 new cases, bringing its total to 350. The Logan County statement called on residents to curb the COVID spread by wearing masks over their nose and mouth. Anyone who can't wear a mask for health reasons should stay home because their condition puts them at greater risk for COVID complications, officials said. The health officials noted that other states have seen surges in cases that have strained medical resources and forced closings of businesses that had reopened. While hospitalizations have not risen as sharply in central Illinois, officials said it's critical to continue to follow health guidelines to reduce the spread of the virus. Following public health guidelines is the best way for the public to support local businesses and to help all of us return to normalcy, Springfield Clinic Chief Medical Officer Dr. Ken Sagans said in a statement. Illinois Department of Public Health reported 955 new cases statewide and 23 additional deaths, bringing the state's totals to 163,703 cases and 7,324 deaths. The statewide positivity rate for cases as a percent of total tests for the 7-day period ending July 20th was 3.1%. Some 1,466 Illinoisans were hospitalized with COVID. Today's Flick Fact. Question: Baxter's is a popular restaurant, bar, and grill on Bloomington's east side across from the airport. Any idea who Baxter is? And the answer is Baxter's is just a trade name. Originally named J. Bucks after St. Louis Cardinals baseball announcer Jack Buck and his son Jay, it became Baxter's in 2009 with an ownership change. And then current restaurateur Rod Burchett purchased it. Because of the stigma attached with restaurants that continually change ownership and names, I decided to leave the name the same when I took over, said Burchett. He adds with a chuckle, if it's any consolation, I do have a golfing buddy whose dog's name is Baxter, but no relationship to the restaurant. Today in history. Today is Wednesday, July 22nd. It's the 204th day of 2020, and there are 162 days left in this year. Today's highlight, on July 22nd, 1862, President Abraham Lincoln presented to his cabinet a preliminary draft of the Emancipation Proclamation. On this date in 1587, an English colony, fated to vanish under mysterious circumstances, was established on Roanoke Island off North Carolina. In 1933, American aviator Wiley Post completed the first solo flight around the world as he returned to New York's Floyd Bennett Field after traveling for 7 days, 18 and three quarters hours. And in 1934, bank robber John Dillinger was shot to death by federal agents outside Chicago's Biograph Theater. And from the past pages of the Pantograph, how time flies locally. 100 years ago, on July 22nd, 1920, Come Dine With Us, a play about to go national, was given for the very first time in the home of Mrs. D.S. Genders in Old Town Township. The script stressed certain aspects of home economics as three characters ate a real meal and discussed household matters. 75 years ago, on July 22, 1945, another one of the horse and buggy doctors in town has died. Dr. Ferdinand McCormick passed away at 70 after a long illness. He actually retired in 1942, but never quite quit, saying he couldn't give up his old friends. Horse and buggy was his own description. 50 years ago, on July 22, 1970, fire destroyed a bridge over Sugar Creek near Shirley, plus a new car owned by neighbor John Becker. A teenage detasseler staying with the Beckers drove onto the bridge unaware of the fire. She got stuck in a hole, left the car, and it also burned. Arson is suspected. And 25 years ago today, on July 22, 1995, swimming will no longer be allowed at Moraine View State Park. A septic system has failed, allowing harmful bacteria into the water. So state officials have closed the beach and fenced it off. The beach is expected to stay closed for the rest of the season. McLean County Board to continue to live stream virtual meetings. In a nod to the increase in McLean County COVID-19 cases, and in an attempt to avoid unnecessary confrontation, the McLean County Board voted Tuesday evening to continue to meet virtually and live stream meetings on Facebook and YouTube rather than return to in-person meetings. The decision affects full meetings of the county board and board committee meetings. This is the reasonable and prudent thing to do, Board Chairman John McIntyre told the Pantograph. The board and its committees have been meeting virtually since COVID-19 hit McLean County last spring, but McIntyre proposed to the board executive committee last week a return to in-person meetings in room 400 of the Government Center, 115 East Washington Street in Bloomington. A resolution calling for a return to in-person meetings effective August 1st was to be presented at the board's meeting Tuesday evening. The resolution called for enforcement of social distancing guidelines, people at least 6 feet apart, and wearing of face coverings when people are closer than 6 feet. But McLean County Health Department reported 17 new COVID cases on Tuesday, and 32 during the first 3 days of this week. Since July 3rd, McLean County has had 137 new cases of COVID, bringing the county's total to 402 since March 19th. Some county board members opposed a return to in-person meetings because of health concerns. Letters from several members of the public were read at Tuesday night's meeting, supporting the transparency of live streaming meetings and opposing a return to in-person meetings as an unnecessary health risk. For those reasons, McIntyre submitted an alternate resolution Tuesday night, calling for continuing of virtual meetings and streaming until at least December. Links to the Facebook and YouTube videos are found at mcleancountyil.gov. He recommended December because the board will reorganize after the November 3rd election. Then we'll see what our situation is with the pandemic, he said. I thought it would be best to wait and be consistent for the health and welfare of the board members, the staff, and the public, he told the Pantograph. In addition, as much as we'd like to require everyone to wear a mask, the law doesn't say that we can enforce that. He's worried some members of the public attending meetings may not wear masks, putting them and others at risk. The board voted 19-0 to adopt the alternate resolution. Board member Chuck Erickson abstained, saying he didn't receive the email with the alternate resolution and didn't feel comfortable voting without reviewing it first. Earlier during the meeting, the board approved a resolution continuing the COVID-19 emergency declaration to August 19th. The resolution, first approved in March, allows the county to act quickly in case there is a spike in COVID cases, including working with hospitals if there is an overflow of patients, and allows the county to request state and federal reimbursement for COVID expenses. Normal revenues better than where we thought we'd be. Normal is not out of the woods just yet, despite a softened COVID-19 economic impact in the first quarter of the current fiscal year. I would say that things are better than what we projected, but we're not going to take a victory lap yet on that, said Mayor Chris Coos. We're still going to continue moving forward cautiously because there are a lot of unknowns. Early projections estimated a $10.4 million drop in revenue, but generated revenue for the first quarter shows state shared sales tax, state income tax, food and beverage tax, hotel-motel tax, and local motor fuel tax was slightly more than expected, according to data presented to the Normal City Council on Monday. Local sales tax came in slightly below what the town projected for March, but slightly higher in April. We closed the first quarter out, and we're a little bit better than where we thought we'd be, Normal Finance Director Andrew Hoon told the Pantograph. We're very actively engaged in this on all levels of our government. So far, we're holding pretty well against our estimate, but we will continue to watch it. The town originally projected that local sales tax revenues would drop 13% below budgeted revenue in March and 38% in April, but it ended up being down 20% and 31%. State shared sales tax was down 12% from budgeted revenue in March and 23% in April, compared to estimates of being down 13% in March and 38% in April. Economic data for May and June was unavailable for local sales and state shared sales tax. Food and beverage, hotel motel, and local motor fuel tax revenues was unavailable for June. There's also been about $1.9 million in savings, including $1.6 million in salary and benefits due to part-time and seasonal payroll expense cuts and vacancy savings in full-time positions, lower overtime, and cuts in employee activity programs. $521,000 in purchased services, which included liability insurance, no travel and training expenses, cuts in advertising, postage, and printing. $498,000 in supply reductions, and $230,000 in property and equipment maintenance. There was an $800,000 offset to those savings, which was mostly related to contributions to police and fire pension plans. In May, the town made a few immediate adjustments to the general fund, including transfer cuts of $1.8 million to the Vehicle and Equipment Reserve Fund, $500,000 to the Capital Improvement Fund, and $400,000 to the Roadway Fund. The town also benefited from Rivian declining a $1 million grant. Normal also has around $500,000 in the contingency reserve fund. These initial adjustments accounted for the $4.245 million to offset the projected $10.4 million drop in revenue. Even with the better-than-expected generated revenue, the town is still planning for a potential $10.4 million drop in revenue that could take the town anywhere from 1 to 3 years to recover. In the meantime, Coos is meeting regularly with a COVID-19 task force of normal business owners and education and health leaders to discuss ways to encourage people to continue following social distancing guidelines. The group is preparing to launch a campaign to remind people to continue social distancing, wearing a mask, and washing their hands. The goal is to prevent rolling back reopening rules, which is already being done in Chicago. "We're asking people to be disciplined going forward," Coos said. "We know there is COVID fatigue right now. People are tired of it, but COVID is not tired of them." We'll take a short break now, and then I'll return with the second half of the Pantograph for July 22nd, 2020. Please stay tuned.